And so he becomes the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. And so he says, all you have to do is connect with me like I'm connected with my Father, and you'll have eternal life too. And that was real simple. We connect with nature and each other and the Father, and the power that flows from the Father into me flows into you. It's a divine connection. And so he created this chalice of immortality by bringing his 12 apostles together. And they were empty. He says, if you want to be filled, you must come to me empty. And they did. And he filled them with the words that he got from the Christ, who was his Father. And he started the first chalice of immortality. And they also became the Holy Grail. They were the Grail. Not the cup, not a physical thing, not a tantric lingam that you get in the River Nile. But the people became the Grail. And so he started his first group, which in theory, and Joe and I saw this one time on a wall, we saw the Last Supper, and we saw how the disciples were carefully grouped in threes so that they could work together in a very powerful triads, or the most powerful arrangement that you can begin with in constructing any kind of personal human architecture. And so what we got out of that, and it just hit us both, and we saw it at the same time, is that, and maybe you can see this, this is kind of the representation of the Holy Grail that Jesus built with his 12 apostles. And the idea was that those 12 would get 12, and those 12 would get 12, until there was 144,000 people, which would change the world and start a new planetary DNA and raise the consciousness to a celestial level and create heaven on earth. Then that was the original goal. Unfortunately, the time was a little bit premature. The apostles weren't quite ready to hold that high level of energy, and the plan went in a slightly different direction. But I'm going to just give you one of those and let you pass that around.
So the disciples were the Holy Grail?
Disciples.
But King Arthur went looking for the Holy Grail.
This happens later. Okay. Now I'm going to tell you when it happens and how the Ark of the Covenant plays into it. So, you know, after Jesus did the thing on the cross, you know, that's a pretty tough act to follow. He doesn't want to hang around. Can't really hang around. Shows up the next day and says, well, I'm back. Kill me, try to kill me. Nah, 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 nah. So his uncle, Joseph of Arimathea, believes in Jesus. You know, it's like Joe was saying, he's got he's got Martha, he's got the Marys, his mother, Mary Magdalene, he's got his apostles, he's got disciples. And his uncle Joseph says, well, you know what? I'm connected. Let's go to France. We'll take the Ark of the Covenant with us because it's going to fall into Roman hands if we don't. So they take it, and there's about 15 of them at this particular time, and they go to Marseille, south of France, and they set up, do some evangelizing and preach the gospel as they see it, and Joseph opens the door, and he's connected, and they start a religious group in the south of France where the Cathars later are, because they're influenced by this proselyting, they set up their belief, their group on Mount Monseigneur in southern France. And the Cathars are like tantamount to the Essenes and the Nazarites and the holy people that follow the highest path of God. And this is commenced by Joseph and Jesus and Mary in southern France. And they sojourn there for a while, and they have the Ark, and they say, well, you know, this is all good, but there's another land that we need to go to.
Wait, who has the Ark? Mary and Joseph have the Ark?
They
took it from Jerusalem.
They took it from Jerusalem because if they don't, the Romans will take it and misuse it like the Nazis.
And Jesus is already dead. So they take it with them to France.
They take it with them, and they take it with them to France in this box, the Ark. But not the Holy of Holies, all that. But these guys have gone through initiations, and so they're like the rods of initiation. They're sacred, and they got high energy, and they can deal with the Ark, and so they use it. And like I say, this Ark goes through kings. It goes through, you know, the pharaohs and Alexander, and Jesus is the king, and now he has the Ark. And so from France, they go to southern England, to a little place called Glastonbury. And Glastonbury is where Avalon happens. And this is like 37, 38 A.D. And they encounter a group of people there called the Druids. And the Druids are, they're enlightened souls like the Essenes, and they connect with nature, and they dance around stones by the light of the moon, and they have ceremonies. But they're very spiritual and very connected, and they connect to the stars and with each other and all these things. And so they listen to the words of Jesus, and they just fall for it because they came from Egypt. The Druids, these Druids are Egyptian-based. And here's Jesus teaching some Egyptian philosophy, and they just, amen, brother. And so you've got the Druids and Jesus, and Joseph of Arimathea builds a little church, calls it the Church of Mary.
Jesus is not there. Jesus is dead.
Jesus comes back. Jesus is resurrected. Jesus does not stay dead. He's in the dead. He's in the tomb for 3 days.
He's in the body.
He's in his body. Remember, he said, "Destroy this temple. 3 days later, I'll raise it up."
Yes.
All right. Now, some people believe that Jesus didn't really die. Some people believe he did. Doesn't really matter. He's connected to the Father. He could have just, you know, faked his death. But whatever. So they go to France with the Ark. And then they go to Glastonbury, because this area is now the promised land to set up the first church, Christian church. It's in southern, southeast. Southeast is from France. You go from Marseille around the corner up to Avalon. It's called the Isle of Apples because they have a bunch of apples there growing. Yeah, not too far. England's not that big of an island. I'm not sure. It's just kind of in the southeastern part of England. And there's kind of foggy, huh?
Joseph is no longer living, so you said Jesus marrying Joseph.
Joseph, the father of Jesus, is not. He dies at an early age. But this is Jesus' uncle. His uncle, Joseph, he's called Joseph of Arimathea. And he takes Jesus with him because Joseph of Arimathea is a tin merchant. And he has connections far and wide, and he says, "Jesus, we gotta blow this pop stand because they're gonna come after you again, and you don't want to die twice on the cross, do you?
Savior, you're dead."
Yeah, next time we'll really make sure we'll cut your legs off at the knees and cut your head off. So his uncle saves them, and they go to France, and then they go to Glastonbury, where the Druids are, and they set up shop, and they become permanent, and they have a small community, village, that they built, St. Joseph's Church at Glastonbury, with 12 little community sections where they live.
12 community sections where they live, 12 houses.
They live, right, just look like an around...
12 houses around one.
Yeah, big apartment complex, basically. Nice. And so this is where they live, and they set up the first Christian church, and it's based on, or built after, the architecture, the divine geometry of the Ark, of Noah's Ark, and of all these different housings of God. And basically it's 60 feet long by 24 feet wide. And it's those proportions that were used to build the Noah's Ark and the Ark of the Covenant. And they're just something about the divine geometry of those dimensions that works with God.